We've started a series last week called My Story. Everyone has a story. And if you're Christian, then every Christian has a story about what God's done in your life. You say, well, I don't know if I have a story. Well, if you are saved, you have a story. Did you hear me? If you are born again, you have a story. But that's not going to be the only story. You might only have been saved for 2 days. Well, you say, I don't have anything major. Yes, being saved is an important story. Having sins forgiven is a great story. Going to heaven and not hell is a great story. Free from condemnation and guilt is a great story. Are you with me? Having a real relationship with the real Jesus and not caught up into religion or into the world is a real story. Being free is a real story. Not living in fear is a real story. Amen. And there's power to your story. We're talking about the keys that will empower your story. And this will be in the context of several things. One, you can look at it from when you have a story, how to empower it to share it. But also because we're all on this journey of life, because the Bible tells us to run the race set before us, that we're all on this journey of life. So you could also say it is keys to empower you for a story.
Right.
Because some of us, not all of us, but all of us in a rhythm of life will be working toward another story. Can I get an amen? See, we've taught you around here that when the enemy tries to attack you, and he doesn't give you a three-day notice, he'll try to hit you, blindside you, catch you off guard. But when he tries to come, the Bible says that God will give you victory. Amen. That you don't have to be victimized. You can, and when the enemy tries to roar, just like Goliath did, David was thinking in his mind, what's the reward? Because David knew that God was going to give him victory. He knew a story was coming his way. We don't need to be intimidated by any disease, any virus, any doctor, any person, any problem, any financial issues. No, you can rise up and get the word in you so strong that no, regardless of what you hear around you, what is happening on the inside of you is peace. What is happening on the inside of you is strength. What is happening on the inside of you is an overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You still serve a God of miracles. Do you hear me? You can be standing in the abyss of darkness and hear the roar of the enemy saying, I'm going to kill you. But I'm here to tell you that the entrance of his word brings light. And when light comes, the insignificance of the devil will be revealed to you. And you'll rise up and say, wait a minute. I am no longer intimidated. I will no longer bend my knee. I will no longer hide and cry. I will no longer shake at the sound of the enemy. I will rise up and be who God's called me to be. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. You are. Are you listening to me? I feel the anointing on this. I sense a spirit of miracles in the house today. I speak over your life miracle power. I curse death off your life. I speak life into your body. You will not die. You will live and declare the works of the Lord, the goodness of your God. You are exempt from what everybody else in the world deals with. Do you not realize that? The blood of Jesus, the covenant of God, makes you exempt. The New Testament, even the Old Testament, they were exempt. Even when God was destroying and was protecting his people and get ready to bring them out. And we know Moses would say stuff what God told him to say, and things would happen. Curses would come. Water would turn into blood. Flies, and it was horrible. But do you realize that the Old Testament, it said that in where the people of God lived, that they were exempt. None of it went to them. You're not like the world. When the Bible says you may be in it, but you're not of it, that doesn't mean that you are weird. People have taken the King James word of peculiar and thought it means you have to look weird, act weird, and do weird. No, you don't. What the peculiar difference is that when the world is going through a pandemic, you can stand rest assured that the God you serve, he is more than enough, that the righteous run into the name of the Lord, and it is a strong tower. It is a tower of strength, and they are secure. Serious about this. A lot of preachers won't talk like this because they're trying to keep everybody politically correct and happy. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to release the truth, and like a bomb, it'll destroy every tactic of the devil that he set up against you.
Amen.
Shout, I'm healed. I'm whole. Like that one song we sing, God, you're still believing, you're still speaking, and I believe it. You said it, it's done. I believe it. Well, I don't feel it. Don't matter what you feel. But you know, my neighbor, your neighbor's not even saved. They're going to hell. Why are you following them? Okay, we got to move on. Get to the notes. Key elements to empower your story. Number one, we're using the acronym of the word story, and we talked last week about using the S, and it means don't stop until you see it.
Yes.
To have a great story, we have to understand we operate through the process of faith, Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 6. We operate, we receive through faith and patience. We follow those who, through faith and patience, inherited the promises of God. But the problem that a lot of times I've seen, not only in my life, but the lives of other people, is the tactic of the enemy is to keep you from what God has for you.
Right.
Where do I get that? John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You can't kill what's not alive. You can't steal what doesn't exist. Let me say that again. You can't kill what's not alive. You can't steal what doesn't already exist. It belongs to you. It's available to you. But the enemy doesn't want you to know it. That's why God says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, a lack of being aware and having revelation of what belongs to them. The enemy doesn't want you to have it. He wants to take it from you. He wants to keep you from it. And so when we begin the process of faith, part of the journey is if we're not careful, we will settle before we're finished. We will settle before we're finished. Where do I get that from? Matthew 13, challenge everything I say with the word of God. We will settle before we finish. The Bible says that when the word comes, that the pressure comes because of the word and people quit. Oh, this is tough. I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I want to take a risk. You know, I was believing I was going to be healed. I was believing I was going to get married. I was believing that I was going to start a business, but it's probably not a good time. I feel the Lord place on my heart to start, but it's probably not a good time. And they'll quit.
Come on.
The devil talked them out of it.
Yep.
Some get so far where they begin to see a difference and the pressure's off, and they begin to feel comfortable, and they no longer feel challenged by the situation, and they become comfortable, and they quit before they get to the end of their journey.
Right.
If you're believing for a healing, don't believe that you just go without pain today. Well, you know, at least, pain's a bad thing. And if I can just have one day a week, Lord, I'm praying one day a week. That's not an answer to prayer because there's no promise to that.
Right.
The fulfillment is the fulfillment of the promise. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. I'm here to encourage you what's available to you. And the devil will try to get you to compromise in the point of your journey.
Right.
Oh, you don't need to be totally healed. Just be thankful that you've just got a partial healing. You don't need to be really happy. Just be glad that on Sundays you're happy. You don't have to have great friends. Just be glad that someone's your friend. You don't need to be blessed. Just be glad that you're able to pay your bills. Because I remember the days when we couldn't even pay our bills. The devil, he's sly. He'll try to talk you out of your blessing. He'll try to talk you out of the promise of God that God's given to you. But the Bible says that the promises of God, New Testament now, New Testament promises, the promises of God to you are yea and amen, which means approved and so be. Which means you can have it, you can see it. We talked about that last week. You can watch it on YouTube. You can see it, but the goal is just not to hear about it, just not to have a revelation on it. The goal is for you to be able to handle it in this three-dimensional world. I can say I'm blessed. I can get excited about the blessings of God, but if I can't write a check, I'm not there yet. I can say I'm healed, and I can be excited by the revelation I'm healed, but until I get an atheist doctor who doesn't believe in Jesus say, I don't know what to tell you. All I can see is these reports, and you're no longer sick. That's when you know it's the real deal. Amen? That's when you've come through the process, and you have come to a place of saying, wait a minute, I have walked this through. And I'm here to tell you, once you've gone through a journey like that in any area, the devil can't use that against you, because the moment you begin to awaken to that, you'll be like, that's no big deal. I remember when God healed me of cancer. Why should I be afraid of a cold?
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
Do you see my point?
Yeah.
We can turn what the devil meant for evil. God will turn for good.
Amen.
So don't quit. Don't settle until it's completed. Don't settle. Don't quit until you see it. It can be seen by the natural eye. The second of this story is not only the S, but the T. Today I want to talk about the second key for powerful truth, powerful story is truth, the person, word, and spirit of it. The second key for to empower your story that we all need, that's truth. Say truth.
Truth.
theological classes and most universities will do a thing on what is truth. I remember taking a class and the professor said, truth is not truth until it's truth to me. I said, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. Well, why don't you agree? Because truth is an absolute regardless if you believe it or not.
Come on.
Truth is just not facts. Truth moves beyond facts. And it's, you know, God is truth, regardless if you know him or not.
Right.
Say truth.
Truth.
The person of truth. If you have your Bibles, turn to Gospel of John chapter 14. Are you glad to be in the house of God today?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm believing for some miracles. I'm believing for some testimonies. I'm believing some of you, you might not shake, you might not shout. You'll walk out of here and go, wait a minute. I couldn't use that arm before. I like for the big moments when it's like a wild bam, knock you over. But I also like the subtle miracles where the Holy Spirit just quietly comes alongside you. And then you look back and say, wait a minute, that was something going on there. I didn't even realize it. Look to your neighbor and say, get ready, neighbor.
Get ready.
The person of truth, Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm the truth. Say, Jesus is the truth. Listen to me, child of God. I've been in the church world my whole life, and there's good people in the church world, but there's some weird people in the church world. And it's not the church. I think it's in any organization, any grouping, no matter what it is. There can be some weird people in the church. I don't know if it's because we just accept everybody at the beginning. See, I believe that Jesus doesn't make you weird. Those were weird people that found Jesus. But he'll work that out of you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look to your other neighbor and saying, you're getting better. Don't worry about it. Just... Now, if that's your spouse and I created your problem, don't blame me. Jesus is the truth. For you to empower your story, regardless of if it's finished and you're sharing it or if you're in the beginning of a journey, you have to keep your focus on Jesus. If your story magnifies you, then you're not telling a powerful story. You're motivated not by love, because the Bible tells us to tell the truth in love. You're not motivated by the benefit of others. You're motivated by the benefit of yourself. If your testimonies make you look better and it's all about making you look important, then you're missing out on the power of your story. Your story must have Jesus in it. Just don't say God. Everybody can say, do you believe in God? Oh, I believe in God. Isn't that funny how we talk about believing in God, but no one says the name of Jesus? You freak people out if you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? You know what I mean? It's a whole different thing. Why? Because there's power to that name.
Yes.
There's power to that name.
Yes.
And you don't have to be weird. You don't have to be something you're not.
Right.
I'm a firm believer. God doesn't want you to act like somebody else.
Right.
He doesn't want you squinting your eyes a certain way or talk something different. You be you and let Jesus be Jesus. But if you want to empower your story, maybe you're at the beginning of a challenge and you're like, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm looking, I need a miracle in this situation. Then I'm going to encourage you. First, not only don't stop until you see you succeed or you see it.
Amen.
But secondly, get your focus on the Lord.
Right.
Make Jesus a priority in your life.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean he's not a priority if you deal with challenges. Jesus said in this world, you'll have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Now, I don't know about you, but growing up, I used to love playing basketball. And I used to love playing street ball. There's a difference. Street ball is not the same thing as organized ball. Two different worlds. If you don't know what it is, that's okay. Just put it on the back corner. Some of us, I played both. I played a lot of organized ball. You got refs and whistles and rules. And street ball is different. We used to say, if there's no blood, there's no foul. I mean, it's just a different game. It's just a different game. Some similarity. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But if you're picking teams, anybody knows you want to pick the best team. You want to pick a player that you know is going to help you win. You don't look at the worst player that can't make a shot and is 4'2" and say, well, I'm going to take them. No, if you're going to pick, pick wisely.
Right.
If you want to win. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, I helped somebody today, and they're going to play basketball in this beautiful weather. And they're going to hear pastors saying, pick wisely. Well, if I'm going to fight a battle, I'm going to pick Jesus. For he has already overcome. Amen. Luke 8, verse 39, return to your own house and show how great things God has done unto you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done. He was publishing Jesus. He was emphasizing Jesus. He was promoting Jesus. Too many times in our world, people want to, out of their own fear and insecurity, want to make themselves look great. It's not about you. It's all about him. And when you tell stories that it's all about you, you will have no power to his story, and the next time you need a story, you're going to be struggling because you still think it's all about you. Well, I'm a self-made, you made yourself, and you won't be able to keep yourself. Only God can do that. See, it's all about Jesus. That's pretty simple. Number two, not only the person of truth, the word of truth. Say the word of truth. John 17, 17, sanctify them, Jesus prayed. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
Thy word is, listen to me. When you share a testimony, if you don't have any scripture in it, I've got a red flag. If you're getting ready to go into battle and you don't have a scripture for it, spear, red flag. You know what happens? Too many times, and I'm being practical, too many times we come into a Sunday, we celebrate, we clap, we sing, we get excited, and then we go out on Monday and we face sometimes battles. Some we knew were coming, some we didn't know or expect that were coming. And when we go to face a battle, we'll take the armor of emotion into it and think that if we will it or want it or really need it enough, that should be enough to get us victory. God doesn't operate that way. That's why Jesus said, seek first how the kingdom works. Seek first the kingdom of God. It just doesn't make going to church a priority. And you should. It means, how does the king operate? Find out how the king operates. If you get into a new job, if you find out the policies and procedures of the new job, you don't go into it with the old policies and procedures of a job that didn't do well. You don't walk in and say, where have you been for 3 hours? Oh, my old job, we took 3 hours. We took as long as we wanted for lunch. Well, that's your old job. That's not the new job. If you take your old into the new, you're going to get fired quickly. Can I get an amen? Well, you don't go from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God and operate in God's kingdom with the world's kingdom methods and expect to succeed. And then people blame God. Well, I don't know what's wrong. You know, I went to church twice. I dropped $5 in that offering two times. And you know what? I even said a little prayer and nothing happened. You're not operating in kingdom principle. You're operating in the world principle, and you're bringing it into the kingdom. You polish that pig up. You shine it, put lipstick on it. But at the end of the day, it's still swine. It's not going to work. Cain's problem is that he was trying to offer a sacrifice to God that was not the way God asked them to leave a sacrifice. He was bringing something he had produced out of the ground, and God said, the ground's already cursed. You need to produce and give me an offering that requires some blood, that somebody, because it was symbolic to what God was going to do in the future, sending his son to be the Lamb of God.
Yes. Yes.
But Cain was determined, I'm going to do it my way, and I expect God to accept it. And God even showed up and said, don't you realize that if you do it my way, it will go well with you? Don't you realize if you obey what I show you, it will go well with you? That means you're going to win. You're going to have success. This is going to be good. But if you don't, if you refuse, if you insist to be stubborn and do it your own way and ignore my way, it won't go well with you.
Right.
Before Cain ever killed Abel, Cain had a rebellion in his heart to God. You know what rebellion is? I'm not doing it your way. I'll do it my way, and I'll tag on your name, Lord Jesus.
Come
on the end of my prayer, and I expect to see results. And if you don't, I'll be back to complain about what you didn't do for me because I used your name. And you think all of a sudden that you're jerking his chain around and that all of a sudden he's running your errands, and you miss out. You're not doing it the right way. You're doing it your way. God doesn't produce success. You doing it your way. Well, I did it just like other people, and they had success. That might not be what God's asked you to do. We want people to hear from heaven for us and not hear for ourselves. And that was Israel's problem. Moses, we don't want to go up to the top of the mountain and experience God. You go and tell us what he said. And you can't live a successful Christian life living on secondhand information. Do you see that? It's just not about the how-tos and the one, two, three and the methods and the meaning. It's about when you experience direction, you'll also be equipped and empowered to do it.
Amen.
You do it your way, there's no power.
Right.
If you're going into battle, make sure you have a scripture for it. Just not an idea. Just not a thought. You get, you know, today's technology, man, it's so much easier. I remember, some of you have been around long enough, you remember when we wanted to find a verse and didn't know the Bible well enough, we had to get out a big old concordance. I mean, we thought the back of the Bible had that little concordance, and that was God, but that's only a partial. Some of us, you know what I mean, we had a big old thick. Just to find one verse. And you're like, well, wonder what that one word, got to find it in the back. Then I go to the back. I can get to the Greek or Hebrew of it. Nowadays, you can go to Google. Bible healing. How easy does it get? What do? You read those. You meditate on those, and you look for the Holy Spirit to reveal one of those, because that becomes your weapon. That becomes your tool, the trade. That becomes what you take to battle. Where do you get that? Well, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the Bible also tells us that in the armor of God, that to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Your offensive weapon is the revealed word of God. Not something you're parroting because you hear somebody else say it. There'll be a time, and there's in the phase of faith, it might start off with, it sounds like you're parroting. You're just reading the scripture aloud. You're just praying the Bible. You're reading it. You're memorizing it. And that's all part of the due diligence, if you will. That's all in paying the price, if you will. That's all a part of Hebrews saying to strive to enter into his rest. Strive to rest makes no sense because you don't understand the spiritual principle. I got to strive in the natural with the word of God and allow it to keep building until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reveals it to me. And when it becomes alive, the unfolding, Psalms 119, the unfolding, the entrance of his word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It's that understanding side, Matthew 13, that all of a sudden that word becomes alive and comes into your heart. That's what Jesus was talking when he said, my words, that they are spirit and they are life. All of a sudden it becomes alive to you. And what you were just speaking and reading and confessing and praying and memorizing, all of a sudden it goes from just a verse to the verse for you today.
Yes.
Find me somebody that's facing a battle. Oh, I'm believing for God to do this miracle. What verse do you have? Oh, I don't have a verse. The other day I prayed, and Pastor, when I was praying, would you ready? I even cried. That's got to mean something. Yeah, it means you feel better emotionally. And I'm not against crying when you pray. Are you listening to me, church? But I've seen people at the altar of God sit at the altar of a church crying and weeping as they prayed, but they weren't praying because they were looking to obey God. They were praying, trying to talk God into something that they wanted, that they knew was wrong. And that's not for everybody who cries and prays. Do you hear me? Don't misunderstand me. Just because you cry when you pray, it doesn't mean that's a bad thing. That could be a very good thing. Your heart's in it.
Right.
But tears don't validate your faith. But Pastor, I really, really want this. I want this. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. I need, I need, I need. Your want and your need is not what the key for the kingdom.
Right.
That's hard to say for people who really want, need. I want to marry that person. I need to marry him. That's the one for me. They're already marrying 7 kids. You don't want to mess with that. It all looks good from the outside. You start changing 4 diapers, and it's like it's a whole different ballgame. Now, how come I got a bigger response out of that than the other? Someone just got up and moved from sitting next to somebody. They're like, I'm leaving you alone. I'm joking. The intensity of your emotional desire does not validate the will of God.
Right.
Take the word to the battle. Have the word. When you share your story, make sure you have a foundational verse that you're standing on. Have a verse. What's that verse? You should get to the point that every time the devil pokes you, what comes out of you, it is written.
Yes.
Some of you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, everything the devil threw at him, he responded, it is written. He didn't say, I don't feel like it. He didn't say, I don't want to. He responded, it is written. You only see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart. And so when you get poked, what comes out? The language of your great-grandmother? Oh, she would cuss and swear and angry. And ooh, when I get mad, I do just like, you better let that stuff go.
Right.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to me. You need to get to the place that if the devil happens to wake you up at 3 a.m. to torment you, the first thing that comes to your mind is the word.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Well, I'm not there yet. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you haven't filled the cup up enough yet with the word.
Right.
Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing. Pastor, how long do I need to stay in that? Until his peace comes, his strength comes, his rest comes, and then you know you have the word for the day.
Right.
It's quiet. The person of truth, the word of truth. It must line up with the word. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Notice who Jesus is talking to. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to people who believed. Right? Jews, those in the covenant who believed. He's talking to church people. Come on, church people. He's talking to church people today. And here's what he said. I got to stop there. What do you mean if? Don't you know? If I come to church, there's no if in this? Yes, there is. And there will be an if you deal with every day of your life, because God's giving you this thing called a choice.
Yes.
And you might have great victories in the past, but today you're still dealing with an if. I don't like the if. Nobody likes the if because that's the carnal side of our human flesh that doesn't want to spend time in the Word. If, notice what he's saying here. If you continue in my Word, notice the process. If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know. Now, we quote this verse a lot. The church world does. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, we quote that all the time. We even quote it to our kids when we're trying to catch them in a lie. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. As you're pulling out the belt, right? You're like, some of you have no idea what that means. Like, some of you have no idea. If your parent walked in and started taking off their belt, you'd be like, where are you going? You change your clothes? See, I remember my dad, when he would pull that belt, he would do it in a way that had its own sound. Some of you know what that sound is, right? I didn't have to know what's going on. I'd hear that sound. I'm watching TV and I hear that sound. I'm like, oh, hear me, heart beats faster. Something about the sound as that belt's coming out. My mom didn't have a belt that she wore, so she would hang one and it's, okay, so we're good. I don't know by personal experience. I just saw Sean and David get beat a lot, so I just knew when that belt came off, problems were about to happen. Help me, Jesus. Then Jesus said to those which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth, the truth, the truth in itself produces freedom. The truth produces freedom. This is oversimplified, but this is so important. Sometimes we forget. The truth produces freedom.
Yes.
Say with me, the truth.
The truth.
Say the truth.
The truth.
You guys sound great today. Say the truth,
the truth.
Produces freedom.
Freedom.
And that could be a part of a process of eliminating something or producing something. But either way, the truth handles it, brings freedom. So if I need freedom, I need truth. If you have a pool, we're getting to the season that pools are going to be open. People start cleaning their pools. And one of the things you know is you need chlorine to shock the pool. When you put the chlorine, it goes to work.
Right.
The entrance of chlorine to the water begins to kill the algae.
Right.
Stay with me. Once the chlorine now encounters the water, I don't set the chlorine tablets and put them to the side of the water. I don't put them near the water. I have to let the water that's not clear be exposed to the chlorine nearby.
Right.
I can buy 2,000 pounds of chlorine. And so, ooh, I got chlorine, but your pool's still green. But that's okay, I have chlorine. No, you don't understand. You have to make sure that the green water comes into contact with the chlorine. If you allow the truth to sit by its side and you don't obey it, it never comes into contact with the situation. Some of us are walking around and saying, I have truth, I have truth, I have truth. Are you doing the truth? Are you obeying the word? Because what he shows you to do, your obedience doesn't create the miracle. It just allows him to be who he is in the situation. Listen, when you pour chlorine into the pool and you shock the water, you don't have to shock the water by your own effort. You let the chlorine, all you had to do is make sure that the chlorine and the pool water meet. Are you with me? All I have to do is pour that stuff in and then I just sit back. Right? I don't have to go to every drop and try to kill anything. I let the chlorine do what only the chlorine can do in the water. I make sure they meet and get together, and then once they get together, I just sit back and watch. Because the power of the chlorine is that it will kill the algae and make the water clear. The power of the truth is you don't have to do it. You just trust God. You obey him. You get the truth into the situation, and then you quit trying. Some of us are trying to recreate a way, and we are doing everything. We're putting the bottles by the pool. We're setting the bottles, let them float and keep them closed. No, just do, follow the directions, and let God's truth do what only God's truth can do, and you'll rest.
Amen.
When this happens, you'll rest.
Right.
Hebrews says, enter the rest of God. You'll come into an internal place of peace, a rest. Don't be anxious for anything, the Bible says, but in all things with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which exceeds your understanding, will keep your heart, mind, and soul.
Amen.
When you're in that place of rest, you know what you've done? You might not see anything different. The water still looks green, but I can go away.
Yeah.
And my wife said, do you take care of the pool? All taken care of. Well, it still looks green. Give it time because it's taken care of. I mixed it. I put the chlorine in the water. Watch it work.
Right.
The devil say, I don't see anything different. Your hand is still hurting. That's okay. I brought the truth in. And through faith and patience, I brought the truth in, and the truth produces freedom. Amen. Say, the truth produces freedom. Woo. What do? I continue in the Word. And when I continue in the Word, then I'll be a disciple. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I ask you to do? Right. That's a disciple, a follower, someone who obeys him. Right. You continue my Word, and you'll be my follower as you do it. And then you shall know the truth, and truth in itself, you don't have to coerce it. You don't have to convince it. You don't have to pump it up. You don't have to be something you're not. You don't have to be emotional. I'm just not feeling. Feelings have nothing to do with it. Right. Let truth have its way. Last but not least, the person of truth, the word of truth. Last but not least, the spirit of truth. John 15, verse 26 through 27, New Living says, but I will send you the advocate, the spirit of truth. Now, everybody tends to be growing. There should be growing in the kingdom of God and the church world, and different people on different levels, and understandably so. And the human tendency is to shape the word to our understanding and our experiences instead of letting the Lord reveal and show us and walk us through the process. And if we're not careful, we'll go to extremes. Some people have made the person of the Holy Spirit real weird. Some people have made the person of the Holy Spirit non-existent, but he's real. Jesus said, it's so important that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Father will not send the advocate, another comforter, the one, the paraclete, the one just like me, that he can be with you and in you. He'll teach you. Notice the spirit of truth. But I will send you the advocate, the spirit of truth, and he will come to you from the Father, and he will what? Testify all about me. Which means he'll speak, he'll remind you, he'll reveal the word to you. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of ministry, of my ministry. What is he saying? Listen, what will empower you to share your story? What will empower you to have a story in the midst of a battle is the person of truth. That's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's the word of truth. You need scripture. And it's the spirit of truth. You need the presence of God. You can do it in the natural. You can try to work, struggle. Oh, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. And maybe see some progress, but you'll exhaust yourself, wear yourself out. That's not the plan of God. Right. The Holy Spirit actually will make it easier in the battles of life.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But if we ignore him, if we don't recognize him, if we don't allow him to fill us, Ephesians says, be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in your life. Do you know the one thing that the world cannot duplicate is the presence of God? In the church world, we call that the anointing. They can mimic emotion. We can mimic their stuff to create the same emotional level. And people have been manipulated because they were moved by emotion. But God doesn't want you to be moved by emotion. He wants you to be moved by the Word and the truth of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always line you up with the Word. Anytime a testimony is outside the boundaries of the Word, it should be a red flag. Anytime you're in a battle and you're trying to charge battle and it's not in line with the Word of God, oh, the Holy Spirit's asked me to do something. Where's that in the Bible?
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit works with the Word.
Right.
The Word without the Spirit brings legalism, brings death.
Yep.
But the Word with the Spirit brings life.
Amen.
Our words, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. We get so caught up in so many different things in the church world that we forget that the presence of God is real. It's tangible. He's real. No one's going to get to heaven and say, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. No one's going to get to heaven and argue about a Trinity or oneness.
Right.
We will fight over the most silly stuff. Well, it's important to me. It's important to me too, but you got to understand there's some things that you will not fully understand until you get to heaven. For Paul even said, on this side of eternity, I will look through a glass dimly, but then on the other side, I will know as I am known. Oh, I got greater revelation. Praise God. Maybe you do. That's wonderful. But you won't use it to beat people over the head. You'll do it and speak the truth in love, because the purpose of us as ministers, as children of God, is to build up the body, not to try to intimidate or impress the body. The Holy Spirit, He is real. And a lot of times we're like struggling because we're doing our own flesh. You gotta just say, Lord, I just need a fresh anointing. Help me to win. Help me to serve. Help me to stand. Help me to see. Whatever it might be, open your word to me so that I can understand the truth that you have for me. For an empowered testimony, an empowered story, we need the power of truth. The person, the word, and the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that He's real and your Lord and Savior? I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship based out of the Word of God. That you can lay your head on your pillow tonight to know without question, shadow, or doubt that Jesus is real and that He is your Lord and Savior and your sins are forgiven. With no one looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're like, I don't know Jesus that way, but I want to. I want you to know that He loves you and He's waiting for you. Revelation chapter 3, He says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. This is your opportunity to receive. Romans 10, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a simple, short, but powerful and eternal prayer. If you don't know Him and want to experience that miracle, the greatest miracle of all, I believe, then I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. Say with me, with every head bowed and every eye closed, say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to You today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in Your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with You. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite You in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank You for saving me. Amen. Amen, church.